Hey everybody, Brian Reynolds here. You're listening to the Appraisal Update Podcast. A podcast or so ago, we did one, Hal was on, and we talked about how'd you get your number, and I talked about just reaching in the market and grabbing it up out of there. And during that podcast, we kind of showed you how to support a total economic life. So I thought I would do another one showing some numbers and trying to figure out how you pinpoint a particular number. We ask appraisers that sometimes, and they really don't have a good answer, if any answer at all. They very often will just say, well, that's my opinion. And you're certainly entitled to your opinion. I mean, we all have opinions. Some look better than others. Some have support and equate to a credible opinion, believable. And some are incredible, right? They're just a wild guess, or maybe they're not a wild guess, but the appraiser's having a hard time communicating their support. Some people call it evidence, right? Something that you can hang your hat on. So I thought I'd do another podcast on that. Come on back, and we'll talk all about it. Hi, this is Brian Reynolds. You're listening to the Appraisal Update Podcast, brought to you by the very fine folks over at Appraiser eLearning. You need some education? Check us out at appraisereLearning.com. We'll be glad you did, and I believe you'll be glad you did. We've got all kinds of courses and more on the way. I've got a brand new course coming out called Appraiser's Guide to Highest and Best Use. It's one of the most important decisions you make in the appraisal process. And we're going to go over it. We'll have a part two to that a little bit later on with a lot more case studies. This course has some case studies as well, but the secondary course is going to have basically just tons of case studies. So Appraiser's Guide to Highest and Best Use, I offered that live in Texas a few months ago, and I believe our first offering for Zoom will be sometime in May, so check that out. Hey, while you're on the website, appraisereLearning.com, check out some of the things coming up. We have a webinar coming up April 25th with Candy Cook and some friends from Agent eLearning. We're super excited about that. We're going to be talking about the pending NAR settlement. Is it going to happen? How's it going to impact you as an appraiser? How's it going to impact you as an agent, if you happen to be an agent? How's it going to impact you as a consumer? Or will it impact any of us at all? We'll talk about that on April 25th. It's free. Be sure you check that out. If you can't get in as a registrant, and those seats are filling up quite full, you need to sign up as a registrant to be able to interact, to be able to ask questions. But if the seats are all taken, you can certainly watch that via our YouTube channel. So go over to YouTube and go ahead and hit the subscribe button right now. That'll keep you in the know with our appraisal report webinars, the appraisal update podcast, and any other breaking news that we have. Also on the website, you can check out the iCore. This is our instructor training. Appraiser eLearning launched that our first year last year, and we're going to be doing it again this year. If you'd like to teach or develop courses for Appraiser eLearning, we'd love to have you. And then finally, you can find information about Valuation Expo. That's right around the corner in August in Las Vegas. So we're super excited about all those things. We'd love for you to be a part. But let's get into it. We're talking about developing your opinion and then support for that opinion. You know, the critical thing is really not what your opinion is. It's I mean, that's critical too. but what you need to be prepared to answer is, if called upon, how'd you get that number? Why did you arrive at that number? And we'll talk about reconciliation processes and recognize techniques and other podcasts. Today, we're going to talk about, instead of the appraised value, we're going to talk about a GRM. And I'm going to show you something. So if you're listening to this, I'll try and illustrate best I can verbally, but you might jump over to the YouTube channel and watch the video, because we'll have a little presentation up on the screen in just a second. This is taken, data set is taken right out of a course that I wrote and we offer on a regular basis. It's called An Appraiser's Guide to, there we go again, Appraiser's Guide to the Income Approach. And I really like that course because it's a great course for residential appraisers in that if you're an appraiser and you appraise a single family residence that happens to be rented, you might need to be looking at income. Certainly, if you're doing a 2-4 family, residential appraisers do all the time, you better have a really good reason if you don't look at income in those. So we go through a single family that's rented. We talk about market rent. We talk about contract rent. We talk about deficit rent. We talk about GIM versus GRM and all kinds of good stuff. And then we graduate in that course a little bit later on about how to do something a little bit bigger. It's a great introduction for the residential appraiser and a great review for the commercial folks. We do a direct capitalization approach to income during that course. But this little thing, and I'm going to put it up on the screen right now. So if you're watching, you can see. Again, if you're driving your car, please don't try and watch this. I'll try and narrate best I can. So if you are looking at the screen, you see an array of sales. Let's pretend that you've already extracted and opined what the market rent would be for your subject property. Now we found 7 sales. These are 7 comparable sales, right? Not just sales, they're comparable sales to the subject property. And we've extracted a gross rent multiplier. Now you can see, and for those listening, I'll go over this. We have various numbers here. We have a range from 100 to 111. So what number are you going to use? I mean, if you use 100, you're going to get a much different answer than if you use 111 times your indication of market rent, right? So what number do you pick? And the bigger question is, why did you pick it? So let's talk through this. Let's go through this and try to figure out why we would move in a certain direction. You're certainly entitled to your opinion. So for those listening, we have a GRM indication of 108, 105, 103, 102, 100, 111, and 103. 7 comparable sales analyzed. We extracted the GRM from those 7 comparable sales. And that's the array that we have. So maybe you decide to take out the extremes, right? And some people will call those outliers. So here we go. Let's take those out. We're going to take out the high, which was 111, and we're going to take out 100. That kind of narrows the range down a little bit, right? Instead of being so extreme, we're a little tighter. This is not uncommon. I was in a class one time, and the instructor had a scattered graph up on the screen. And that scattered graph, that's a bunch of dots on the screen indicating sales. And he had a trend line. He ran a trend line, and that trend line was just going down, you know, about to crash and burn. And so the trend line was indicating a rapidly declining market, if you will. And he said, but watch what I do. And he went through and he kind of erased the low sales, several of the lower sales. And immediately that trend line jumped up and was straight as an arrow. And he said, what did I just do? And I raised my hand and spoke up and I said, you manipulated the data. And the instructor even laughed. And he said, Brian is 100% right. I did manipulate the data. And he said, you would, of course, need to verify this. But we're assuming that these low sales were foreclosure or REO sales. And they were skewing the data set. So we extracted, we took those out, right? And there's nothing wrong with taking raw data and taking those outliers out. What he did made sense. It was justifiable. I think I would show raw data and then I would show the manipulated data and I would explain why I took those low sales out, not to skew. What I typically like to do, and you do it however you choose, I like to be consistent. If I'm going to take out the extreme low, I want to take out the other extreme as well. So I'll take out the extreme low, take out the extreme high. That tightened or narrowed our data set here. Now, we could do it again if we wanted to. Let's do it again. I didn't put this on the slide, but if we did it again, our next highest sale was 108, and our next lowest sale was 102. So now that would even narrow us even more, and our data set would then be 105, 103, 103. What do you want to use? The next thing I did is I checked out the mean. And that's kind of a bad word for appraisers. Not really, but we've been taught not to say average or use average, right? Judgment is the appraiser's sharpest tool. And yet we use mathematics, but appraising is not just math. We don't just add stuff up and divide and get, and that's our answer. So I put it on here. You could also use an adjusted mean if you wanted to. So go back and take out the 111, take out the 100, then add those numbers up, divide by 5, and that would give you probably around 104, maybe a little change there, 104 and some change, right? I was teaching a class and actually pulled some curriculum data out of a course that Miss Diana Jacob, a dear friend of mine, had written. And we had a data set up there. And as we were talking through it, the instructor or the author had said, you know, here's 4 sales, discount 2 of the 4, and the remaining 2 are equally comparable. And I'll use this as an example when we're doing a reconciliation of appraised value, of adjusted sale price into an appraised value in another podcast. But basically everybody, when I said, how'd you get your number? You know, none of the attendees wanted to answer that question because none of them wanted to say average. And I said, you know, okay, let's pretend I'm an attorney. Mr. or Mrs. Appraiser, I'm just a dumb attorney. I don't know. You're telling me you didn't average, but if I take this number and I take this number and I add them up and divide by 2, I get your answer. I assume that's what you did. No, that's not what I did. Well, explain to us what you did. Well, it's just my opinion. So it's just magically coincidental that if I add these 2 up and divide by 2, I get your answer, right? I'll tell you a better way to answer that in another podcast. So listen to a future podcast and I'll give you a really good answer to that question that would not be average. Okay. Let's look at another technique. Another technique recognized in throughout appraisal literature is what's called the mode. What is the mode? The mode is the most reoccurring number. It's the one that we see over and over and over again, if there is one. And then this data set, we have 108, 105, 103, 102, 100, 111, and 103. There's 103 again. So the mode would be 103, right? And before I go on and on, we've got a couple more examples here. But before I do that, I need to give a shout out to our sponsor, LIA Administrators and Insurance Man. Thank you very much for supporting the Appraisal Update podcast. Thank you for supporting the Appraisal Report webinar. We certainly appreciate your support of appraisers. You know, for over 45 years, LIA Administrators and Insurance Services has been offering E&O insurance to valuation professionals just like you and me. LIA applies superior customer service, exceptional liability education, and simply unparalleled claim defense to serve well over 10,000 real estate professionals all across the country. Do yourself a favor and check out LIA. Visit liability.com to learn more about how LIA can help you and your business. All right, let's get back at it here. Ready? We did the mean. We did the mode. I talked about doing an adjusted mean. So let's do another one. Another technique in appraisal literature is the median. Well, how do you do that and what is it? Well, it's kind of the middle of the road, if you will, right? So what we want to do is we want to reorganize all these numbers. We don't want to leave them in the order that they're at now. We want to put them in sequential order. So we put them in sequential order, and you can see we've got 103, 102, 103, 103, 105, 108, 111. There's 7 numbers. If we look for the middle of the road, that would mean 3 on top, 3 on bottom. And the middle of the road is 103. So our median would be 103. So in this data set, I have a mean of 104.57, an adjusted mean at roughly 104, a mode at 103, a median at 103. I'm probably going to use 103. Now, I went through this exercise to show you how to support your opinion and conclusion with regard to, let me move this up a little bit. It looks like I've got it. Not that way. I've got it so big you're not able to see my conclusion there. So let me see if I can tweak that down just a little bit. 103 was the answer, right? So I do that to say, man, I'm just struggling. Here we go. 103. Be sure that you use something that you can hang your hat on, right? Again, it's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. You get to decide. Maybe it's not 103. Maybe in this data set, you're going to argue and say, wait, I know the mode's 103, the median's 103, everything looks good at 103, but I used 106. And the reason I used 106 is if you look at those first two sales, we got a GRM at 108 and a GRM at 105. And boy, I thought those were the best comparables. They were really the best comparables, and they were the most recent sales. You know, the other sales were comparable. They just weren't quite as comparable, and they were a little dated. They were a little older sales. So I'm really going to zone in on those top two, 105 and 108, and I'm going to maybe weight that or rank that or say, you know, the second one just closed last week. I think it's more, you know, indicative of the actions of market participants today. So I'm going to use 105 or 106 or whatever number you choose. It's your opinion. Just be able to answer that question if called upon. Have support for your opinions and conclusions. It's going to be very difficult for you to answer a question if your answer is just, well, it's just what I think. Well, yeah, it's what you think, but based on what? Well, it's just what I think. I woke up this morning and I thought 106. That's not going to work anymore, guys. So again, you're entitled to your opinion. Have something in your back pocket to pull out if called upon to say why you moved in a certain direction. That's all we're looking at here. I hope you're doing well. Listen, I've been drinking coffee. I didn't even notice this morning, but I picked up a cup. We've got some of these little cups, carry cups. Take it easy. I just got out of the hospital. I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. I'm doing great. My mom's been in and out of the hospital. In fact, she was just taken, so I got to get to the hospital and see how she's doing. She's not doing so great. Do me a favor. On your to-do list, and we all have to-do lists. We're very busy. We're very stressful, right? If you're a small business owner, you're even more stressful. It's been tight times lately with work. Take it easy. Put you on your to-do list. Put you on your to-do list. Carve out a little bit of time for you, right? You don't have your health, you have nothing. So carve out a little bit of time for yourself. Try and reduce that stress if at all possible, and there's multiple ways you can do that. We've talked about that, you know, in some past programs, but put you on the to-do list. You'll be glad you did. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Appraisal Update Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Reynolds. Until next time, please stay safe, make some money, and happy appraising.
The Appraisal Update Podcast is brought to you by Appraiser eLearning.